In the name of our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. Okay, seriously, you get out of bed, you come all this way over here in the rain to sing with us, and you're going to have to stand? I feel kind of bad. I'm pretty sure that we should have children on a blanket in front of us every Sunday. I vote for that when we go back into the building. Today in our gospel lesson, we meet very excited but exhausted disciples. Jesus sent them out two by two to teach and heal and spread the good news of God. They've returned and they're ready to share with Jesus all the good news of all that they have done and accomplished far and wide. Even with full hearts, though, they are hungry, they are tired, and they're ready for a break. So Jesus sends them by boat to a deserted place where they can hit that pause button and recharge. Who can't relate to that? But the word is out. They've done good work. This Jesus guy has people coming from all over to hear his teaching and wait for the opportunity to possibly be healed. So when the people recognize the disciples and Jesus coming ashore, they follow them and they clamor for more. They want more. More teaching, more healing, more Jesus. As the lesson reads, they went ashore and they saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. We quickly fast forward. If you noticed in our lesson today, we miss a middle section. There's some feeding that happens, you know, the big feedings. And also Jesus walking on water, those just two small little things in Scripture. So you have to ask, why, when putting together our lectionary, did we take the lesson the way we did for today? And so as you hold it, you see that after the healings and the feedings and the walking on water, they go back into the boat. They go seeking that respite, seeking that break, and seeking that quiet again. And that's where we pick up. But again, they meet throngs of people coming to be healed and seeking Jesus, and to spread God's love continues. Even those who just touched the hem of Jesus' garment are healed. This passage often is preached as one about prayer and rest. But I believe this passage is about being in the trenches of ministry and about sorting out exactly what matters most. And in the heat of exhaustion and need for respite, we see that today it's compassion that becomes the defining force for Jesus, that's driving that message of we must love God and love our neighbor. And we hold up those commandments and we say, what does that look like? What does that mean in our life? And what we get today from Jesus is the word compassion. He looked with compassion. No shortage of exhaustion. He looked with compassion. So the word compassion is composed of calm and passion. And from the Latin translation, we have come together with and passion to suffer. Compassion can be translated to suffer with. To be compassionate means to have an ability to suffer with one another. It's different from sympathy. When you get those sympathy cards, you say, I have sorrow for you. I am from a distance with you in your suffering, but I'm over here. And if you think about empathy, that goes a step further. We are deeply feeling what another person feels in their suffering. But with compassion, there's something a little different. Compassion has an action piece with it that makes it unique and special. The Zen master, Thich Nhat Hanh, who I know many of you are well read in, views compassion as the intention and capacity to relieve and transform suffering and lighten sorrows. According to Thich Nhat Hanh, we must practice mindfulness and listening and deep looking so that we can develop compassion. It's something that we do and that we practice. So we associate compassion with active desire to alleviate some piece of suffering with one another. You may think I'm saying that it requires some force of going out, but the truth is sometimes helping someone relieve their suffering is to be willing to be with them. With sympathy, I feel your hardship. With empathy, I share your emotions. But with compassion, I share in your suffering. That is an act. And it brings us to that understanding that we have a common sharing. When you think about in 1 Corinthians, where we talk about being one body of Christ and many members, we know we are part of the greater body of God, the body of Christ, and we share that common humanity. And when one suffers, we all suffer. The relationship to suffering begins with understanding our own connectedness. But to do this requires us to have an ability to have self-compassion for us. Suffering is not easy. None of us choose it. Many times we choose to numb or drown our suffering with TV or alcohol or food, anything to distract us from suffering. But what we learn from Jesus is that in his life, he stepped in to be among and with people in the midst, and even in exhaustion, could not step away. In that, there is healing. But part of what we have to do in learning to practice compassion is to learn how to sit in the midst of suffering. When we are able to do that, not to try to fix, it makes me think of the story of one time a parishioner came and said that their best friend was dying. And they had not been able to go and be with her. And as we talked, food had been taken, kids had been taken places, all sorts of relief efforts had been made for this family and for this best friend. But this person had not been able to go and sit and be with her friend. And as we talked more, what we came to was to sit in her own suffering of watching her best friend die was so much more painful than she could bear. She couldn't be with her friend in that suffering at the end of life. It was a missed moment. In our life, we have to come to terms with an ability to be amongst things that are hard and to sit, not to necessarily say something perfect that makes it all okay, but to be able and willing to sit even when there's nothing to say. That is what compassion is about. It is an ability to be and stand among people in the midst of hardship, in the midst of all that they are going through. This lesson isn't about being a martyr. It isn't about not tending to your own needs. Don't hear it that way, please. This text is lifting up compassion as central to the Christian life and calling each of us to be willing to be with one another, to help lighten the load. Because in that together with each other, there is healing and there is restoration. Our presiding bishop, his main theme for Michael Curry has been the Jesus movement. And he was in an interview recently and he said, the thing about church is things sound like church and look like church, but they aren't necessarily church. Because they haven't put Jesus at the center. They've put other things that they want to do and be. Putting Jesus at the center isn't about being at church every Sunday while you all get major props for coming in the rain, not to undercut you. Putting Jesus at the center isn't just about that. It isn't just about perfect liturgy and beauty. And it isn't just about the magnificent music, but it is magnificent. When we take Jesus from the center, when that is not what we are moving towards, other agendas become central to the life of the community. And so what Bishop Curry is moving us toward when he talks about the Jesus movement and about compassionate way of life is about the ability together to constantly put at our core being willing to be with one another in all of our challenges and all of our struggles. Sometimes we get some pushback about having meals together and not being academic enough and needing to think more deeply and broadly. But the truth is, part of practicing compassion is doing the small things like knowing one another and gathering around tables and having conversations so that we can be together in the ups and the downs of life, even in the suffering. We are called in this movement towards loving God and being compassionate, being able to stop and be facing and looking towards one another. It is about relationship. And what we see on that day in the midst of exhaustion, in the midst of needing a break, is that they all choose to stay and be present to those who are in need and those who are longing to be connected. We are invited this day as we go forward into kind of renewed life post-pandemic, as we come together. Who are we as a church going to be in this next chapter? We do so much so well. And as we come back together, God is calling us to continue to put Jesus at the center and to find ways to be compassionate in our hearts. I offer us each a return to the collect of the day that reminds us that we can do anything with God in our hearts. And when we put Jesus at the center, I'm going to read one more time. Almighty God, the fountain of all wisdom, you know our necessities before we ask and our ignorance in asking. Have compassion on our weaknesses And mercifully give us those things which are our unworthiness we dare not, and for our blindness we cannot ask. Through the worthiness of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.